is spread to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan is written by Sri Srinivas Acharya, who is no less a personality than the great six Goswamis themselves, and who personally witnessed everything about the six Goswamis that he has described herein. Srinivas, Shamananda and Narottam studied under Jiva Goswami, and these three presumed that they could continue living in the same manner that the six Goswamis were doing.
They presumed.
Yeah. They were very much attracted to the life of withdrawn life of composing books, doing Govardhan Parikrama, all these activities that the six Goswamis were doing. Somewhat withdrawn. Not wholly so. Sanatana Goswami was well known among all the Vrajavasis, particularly Sanatana Goswami, because they all felt that he was like a father to them. To this day, Sanatana Goswami is highly revered among the Vrajavasis and those who are followers of the Vrajavasis. Sanatana Goswami would daily perform parikrama of Sri Govardhan. His disappearance day is on Guru Purnima. So, on that day, in honor of Sanatana Goswami, literally hundreds of thousands of people perform Govardhan Parikrama. The whole, all around Govardhan, it's like a crushed crowd all day, more than 24 hours. The Sanatana Goswami, he would visit the different villages in the Vrajamandal area and oversee and give advice to all the people there. So they were not totally withdrawn from human society, but they weren't traveling all over India for preaching, rather they were staying in the Vraja area. That was particularly because they had been ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to remain in Vrindavan with a specific purpose, to compose books that established the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he simply spoke his instructions, and they were later compiled into many, many books by the six Goswamis. Because there's no preaching without books. What are you going to preach? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them to remain in Vrindavan and write books, and to look to Tirtha Odha to find out the lost sacred place. Of course, all of Vrindavan is sacred, but the pastime places of Vrindavan. And also Bhakti Prachar, to preach the cult of devotional service. So to preach widely and to go outside Vrindavan was not directly possible. But having compiled many books, and they sent Srinivas, Shamananda and Narottam to Bengal and Orissa to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So different devotees have different services to perform. They are based on two principles, personal purification and preaching. The two go together. If one is not personally purified or following the process of Krishna consciousness, then how can he preach? First of all, if one doesn't know what is Krishna consciousness, then how will he preach Krishna consciousness? Or even if one has superficial knowledge, if one is not practicing, then how can he have any influence on others? Who will want to follow? And where will one get the inspiration to preach if one is not following, practicing? Sanatana Goswami spoke as follows to Srila Haridas Thakur. apane achare kare na kare pracha pracha kare keho na kare acha acha pracha name karaha dui karj tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera anj. Some people, they follow the principles of devotional service very nicely, but they don't preach. Acha kare keha, na kare pracha. Pracha, and then others, they preach Krishna consciousness, but they don't even follow what they're talking about. So Sanatana Goswami said that you do both. You practice and you preach. Particularly, Haridas Thakur is known as Nama Acharya. Acharya means, that is defined in Vayu Purana. Achinoti Nashastrani. Acharya Stapyati Api. Swayam Acharate Yasmat Acharya Stena Kirtitaha. That one who acts according to scripture, teaches according to scripture, and trains others to act according to scripture, such a person is known as an acharya. So Haridas Thakur is famous as Nama Acharya, because he established the glories of the holy name of Krishna according to Shastra. He personally practiced chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 300,000 names of the Lord, 3 times 64 rounds every day. We chant minimum 16 rounds. Haridas Thakur chanted daily 12 times that number. And he also preached the glories of the holy name. So, Tumi Sarva Guru. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami said about him that you are the guru of all and you are the most exalted person in the universe. He uses the word Arya, which in Arya. Because Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, which socially is considered outcast in Hindu society. Not allowed to enter any temple, with the idea that if such a person enters the temple, then everything will become impure. The temple atmosphere should be maintained very pure. So if a meat eater enters the temple, then everything becomes impure. That is what they consider. Or even if someone is born in a Muslim family and stopped eating meat, they think, well, because he had meat at some point in his life, still he can never enter the temple in his life. They don't have faith in the purifying potency of the holy name. So Haridas Thakur, who is the acharya of the whole world in the matter of chanting the holy name, never entered the Jagannath temple. He lived in Puri for so many years, close to the Jagannath temple. But he never entered the temple. But now, so many people who come to Puri, they go to his place where he chanted, his bhajan sthali is close to Jagannath Mandir, and at some more distance is the samadhi. So many people come to see him to beg for his blessings. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came to see him every day. Even by social convention, Haridas could not enter the temple to see Jagannath, but Jagannath came to see him. Vasu gosha kahe kare jor hat jigor Shri Krishna Shri Jagannath. Vasu Ghosh, a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that, folding my hands, I declare that this Gaura, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Krishna, is Jagannath. So these are the qualities of our acharyas. They personally demonstrate how dear they are to the Lord. They show how great is the power of bhakti, that if due to some social convention one is forbidden to go have darshan of the Lord, the Lord himself will come to see such a devotee. So this is the level of our acharyas. We are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam how great is the Lord. Now, 8th canto of Bhagavatam is printed in Russian, describing how Vamana Dev covered the whole universe in how many footsteps? Someone said three, but he baked 3 footsteps of land from Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj said, you're just a little boy, what 3 footsteps will do? That's not enough, you should take some more. He said, I have the whole universe under my control here, I can give you much more.
Yep.
You're not very intelligent. Brahmadev said, no, Brahmin should be satisfied with just whatever he needs and not be greedy. So Bali Maharaj said, Tathastu, which means, okay. And Vamandev, with 2 steps, he covered the whole universe. And he said to Bali Maharaj, hey, you promised me 3 steps of land, but you don't even have that much. What kind of king are you? I only asked for 3 footsteps of land, and you don't even have that much to give me. So all these narrations, they show how great is Allah, how powerful is Yanmadhyasayataha. All emanations come from Him. Yatova imani bhutani jayante. Everything comes from Him. Yena jatani jivanti. Everything in this material world remains with Him. Yat prayantya abhisangvishanti. Everything is ultimately destroyed by Him. Tad vijigyasasva. That is the proper subject of inquiry. Tad brahmeti. That is known as Brahma, the supreme absolute truth. How great is Krishna? We are learning how great is Krishna so that we can understand our subordination, our constitutional position of subordination to Him. And all Vaishnava Sampradaya, except the Gaudiya Sampradaya, other Sampradaya, but most Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they just go this far. How great is the Lord? But having understood all this, in Gaudiya teachings, there comes, when we get higher and higher and higher, there comes a twist. That all of a sudden we find this all-powerful, almighty, omniscient, insurpassable Lord dancing as a little child while the gopis are clapping their hands. Adi Yashoda, the elderly gopis are clapping their hands. This is the greatness of our acharyas. 6 Goswamis, Haridas Thakur, Sarup Damodar Goswami, Srinivas Shamananda Narottam, all the great acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada Desi Bhaktivinoda Swami, all these great acharyas. They have come to teach this kind of bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift. Anarpita chirin chirat karunya vatirno kalo samapiyata munatajvala rasa swabhakti shriyam. That which was not given for a very long time, not within this day of Brahma, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given that. He has very mercifully descended in this dark age of Kali to mercifully bestow that which was not given before. The topmost resplendent exchanges at the topmost level of devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that through the 6 Goswamis and through the Acharya Parampara. The 6 Goswamis wrote so many books, and then Srinivas, Shamananda, Narottam, they took those books and they preached them widely. Later, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, a little later, he composed Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which, although not composed in Sanskrit and for that reason foolishly denigrated by foolish so-called scholars, contains all the conclusions of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in fact, one cannot understand the teachings of the 6 Goswamis without understanding Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there are so many gurus in our line. Maybe you have seen in the book about Rasikananda Prabhu, there is a list of so many names of his disciples and disciples of Shamananda Prabhu. And some of them it's written, such and such a name is given. He had thousands of disciples. But we don't have any more information about them than that. So there have been many great preachers, gurus in our sampradaya. But Baladev Vidya Bhushan, in his writings, he has given the names particularly of those acharyas who have given definitive books. Books that teach us what is bhakti on the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how to practice that, and what is the ultimate goal of practicing that. So there we see Sanatana Goswami, he was worshipping Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Rupa Goswami, like this, all the different Goswamis, they are worshipping different deities. Rupa Goswami is worshipping Sri Sri Radha Govinda. So both by practice and precept, and particularly by writing these important books, they taught us what is Krishna consciousness. So Baladev Vidya Bhushan, he took out the names of these prominent acharyas in our parampara, and gave their names as the prominent acharyas in our parampara. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also wrote many important books of Krishna consciousness. And Baladev Vidya Bhushan himself wrote the Gaudiya Vaishnav commentary on Vedanta Sutra. He wrote that, actually it was dictated to him by Govinda deity. He composed the Prameya Ratnavali, which sums up the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote the Gita commentary that Srila Prabhupada based his Gita commentary upon. Later, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is the root or the inaugurator of the current of pure devotional teachings in the modern age, he wrote so many important books and songs, and personally preached among educated and people, highly educated people and common people also. His contribution in reviving the sampradaya is immeasurable. And the preaching that he started was even more very forcefully continued forward by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who, despite traveling widely, lecturing constantly, and establishing many mutts, still spent much time writing. Permanent contribution. He told his disciple of Hai Charanaravinda Das that he preferred book publication to temple construction. Not that he was against temple construction, he oversaw the construction of so many temples, but he considered that writing books is a more permanent contribution. That building a building, the tendency is that someone will come and occupy it for their sense gratification. When a temple is built, then some facility has to be built also for people to reside so that they can perform the temple services. And some provision must be made for their food, clothing, all their bodily needs. So all facilities are provided so that people can worship the Lord. But it is inevitable that someone will come and see the facilities and think, this is very good. What do I need to do to get these facilities? Oh, I have to worship the Lord. Okay, I'll do that. And then I can enjoy the facility. So actually, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, why he established temples? People asked him, why are you establishing temples? Actually, we say temple, but he was establishing mutt. There's a difference between mutt and mandir. Mutt is more like a monastery, like a seminary. And the temple worship goes on, but it's actually meant for that dictionary definition is given. Those People who reside in the mud, they do so for the sake of spiritual, for the sake of spiritual uplift or spiritual gain. Patanti vasanti yatra paramatina. That's what it is. But someone will think the temple is going on and so many donations are coming in, and they will think, this is very good. This is an easy way to get money, facilities, and prestige. I didn't finish saying what. And mandir is, mandir means that temple worship is going on, and often by grihasthas. Temple, this word in English, or haram in Russian, it's more the like the mandir than the mud. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was establishing mutts, which he wanted. He had so many householder disciples also, and he wanted them to regularly visit. But he was very much aware that in future people, they might take advantage of those facilities for sense gratification. Instead of living in the mud and accepting the facilities so that they can worship the Lord, they would worship the Lord so that they could enjoy the facility. Externally, the activity is the same, but the purpose has changed. So gradually they will convert it into a place for sense gratification. Because in the mud, there are strict rules for worshipping the Lord. It should be in every mud. Such as rising early. But those who are living in the mud for sense gratification, they don't like to rise early. So they adjust the rule. Mangalati gradually becomes at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, in some places it's like that, actually. Not in ISKCON temples yet, as far as I know. So they don't mind. As long as the donations come in and they can have their go on with their life, then what do they care? Then if someone wants to come and live in the mud for the sake of paramartha, for spiritual advancement, those who are living there for sense gratification will try to stop them. So the mud is, it becomes useless for its actual purpose. It just becomes another building for sense gratification. Except that in most buildings for sense gratification, it's clear that it's for sense gratification. Just like in an ordinary house, someone goes and they do a job and they bring back money, they earn money and maintain themselves in that way. But in a temple which is being run for sense gratification, one shows the deities and pretends that this place is meant for the deities, and so they shall give a donation for the deities. But actually it's meant for their own sense gratification. So the ordinary house and the temple become the same. They're both places of sense gratification. The difference is that in the ordinary house, they're straightforward about it. Whereas in the temple, they hypocritically pretend that it's a place for spiritual life, and in this way take donations from the public. And in this way live an easy life at the expense of the public. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it is better to live as an honest street sweeper than to show the deities for making income. You will see if you visit Vrindavan, so many temples, they're calling, come, take darshan. Not that they're interested in you getting darshan for your spiritual uplift, but because if you come for darshan, then they can pressure, now you give a donation. And the donation will be used for maintaining their families. So there's nothing wrong if the pujari who's serving the Lord is maintained, but if that is his, if he's not actually interested in serving the deities, but is just interested in showing the deities to get more money for his sense gratification, then he becomes, although apparently as a holy man or a priest, he's actually more sinful than the ordinary man. If you go to Radha Kunda, the pandas or the local guides, they'll say, come here, see this place, they'll give you some flowers, offer some flowers here, this, that. But they're not interested that actually you will make any spiritual advancement, because they themselves are not interested in any spiritual advancement. They want money so they can get a bigger color TV to watch sexy movies in. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he warned, don't enter the belly of the Pandavas. So when he was asked that, why are you opening so many new temples when there are already so many temples? He replied that we need to do so. We need a place where we can speak our own message unimpeded. If we have to speak the truth, then we'll be driven out everywhere. Chor ko chori, sadhu ko bandhe, patik ko lagave fashi, dhanga kali jug. Tumhari tamasha, dukkha lagi ohashi. There's one saying from Tulsidas, so we're told, who said that there's a thief, let him go. There's a sadhu, capture him, tie him up. There's been some crime, someone should be hanged. Just take anyone from the street, grab him and hang him. It's because the thief should be let go, let him go. Danya Kali, oh glorious Kali Yuga, your tamasha, how do you translate it? Your show, it's like something like a soap opera on TV. Entertainment show. Dukkhalagi, I feel distressed upon seeing it. But we laugh also because it's so absurd. Yeah, Tulsidas or whoever made this verse. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, seeing this, he deliberately made the residential quarters in his mats not very stable, not very solid. Not well built. So that they would start crumbling soon. Crumble means to the balls, yeah, or the building. Yeah. He didn't want to make very solid places that sense gratifiers would be attracted to. And he said, even when he was opening the most prestigious temple, marble temple in the heart of Calcutta, he said that more important than the temple built from marble is the temple of books, because that temple will last longer. You may say, well, a marble temple should last very long. Books don't last very long. But those books are, they're a lasting contribution. Marble temple is for the pleasure of the Lord, just to show that all the best things of the world should be offered to him. And actually it's proper that he should be worshipped in a building built of marble, pearls, gold, and all the best ingredients. But nowadays if you make such an opulent building, then it will become attacked and people will want to steal it all away. But anyway, it is fitting that the Lord be worshipped in a palace. And it's also one kind of preaching to show that we worship the Lord in a very beautiful building. Moscow has many prestigious and famous buildings. Particularly the Kremlin and St. Basil's Cathedral are world famous. So if we are to build a temple in the heart of Moscow, it must be extraordinarily beautiful and opulent, so that everyone can come and see. Krishna is important. And we hope and pray that Goswami Maharaj will come here and give a presentation about the Moscow temple project. Is Ishwara here? What's the news? Is he coming? Don't know. He's booked his ticket, but it's not sure.
He's coming.
He's coming? Latest news is he's coming.
Tomorrow.
Coming tomorrow. Morning. Jai, announce that. Just see how much bhakti you all have. You pulled him from Moscow just before Janmashtami. So he has the mission to build not an ordinary temple, but a wonderful temple for Krishna. Mm-hmm. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the book temple, or the temple in the form of books, is even more important. And actually the beauty and opulence of the temple is just so that people can understand Krishna is important.
So many people come to the Kremlin and snap their photo. I was at the Kremlin, at Lenin's mausoleum. Does anyone still go there? Do you have any Muscovites here? Yes, so it used to be the principal pilgrimage place in the whole of Moscow, just a dead body of a big demon. So people like to be photoed at these places. But the beautiful temple for Krishna is not meant just so that people can come and take their photo, so they can understand, oh, Krishna is important. How important? For that you will have to read Bhagavad Gita, Kak Una Ist, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and Nectar of Devotion, and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Everyone should walk out of that temple with a huge stack of books. As Prabhupada said, hands full with books, stomach full of prasadam, and wallet empty. You spend it all on the books, no money left. So these books, they will appeal to sincere people everywhere at all times. Just like I often, all over the world, I often tell the story of Shabari Devi Dasi. Oh, she said, how you can say an ordinary housewife from a remote place in Russia. A few days ago I was in Slovenia at a festival, and Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, he also came to Russia many years ago with the Gauranga Bhajan band. He's one of the initiating gurus in ISKCON. He asked me, where will you be for Janmashtami? And I said, in Russia. And he asked, well, in Moscow? He said, no, in Tatarstan. He said, what, Kazakhstan? He never heard of Tatarstan. So then there happened to be a map in the next room on the wall. And then I said, and then they said, Kazan. Have you heard of Kazan? Yeah. He said it in English. We were speaking in English. So then I showed him, you see, here's Moscow, here's Kazan, and here's Naborizhny Chelny. He said, why are you going there? So I said, because there are so many wonderful devotees calling with them. So I think even in Russia, many people may not have heard of Naborizhny Chelny, isn't it? It's famous because they produce trucks. Okay. Yeah, that's what I want to say. So people in Russia, they may have heard of Naborizhny Chelny. But how many people, like, you know, 100 kilometers distance from Chistopol have ever heard of Chistopol? Maybe in Chibuksara they heard of it, but then they never heard of Chibuksara either. But it's, you know, it's somewhat close. So anyway, Shabari Devi Dasi is from Chistopol, and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees distributing his book, She Got Life Comes From Life. This was many years ago. How many years ago? In 1993, 12 years ago. So she read it. Sometimes people say, well, this Life Comes From Life, it's too heavy, we should edit it. If people won't appreciate it, it's too heavy. So if we edit the heavy parts out of Life Comes From Life, then we can have very nice cover, an introductory page, and nothing else. It's one punch in the face after another for the materialistic scientists. Actually, it already is edited. I mean, the Prabhupada was even, you know, much more heavy, but they didn't put everything, all the super. Well, it is. It's pretty good, but, you know, how many times a page do you want to put in cat, dog, etc.? See, they're talking about Darwin's evolutionary theory, but they say man has come from monkeys. But Prabhupada is saying, well, they're cats and dogs that have come from monkeys. The human beings are like cats and dogs. So, you're calling yourself humans that come from monkeys, but you're not humans, you're cats and dogs. So anyway, say ordinary housewife from an ordinary town. How far away? 1,500 kilometers or so from Moscow, something like that. More than 1,000 kilometers from Moscow. Got this book. and saw there was an address that devotees had given in Moscow, and she understood immediately, this is it. This is reality. This is factual. I can no longer live my life as I lived it for so many years. So she got some Lakshmi together and went to Moscow and went to that address and learned from the dish. In one or two days the devotees told her everything, how to practice Krishna consciousness. And since that time has been practicing Krishna consciousness at home with very little association or anything. But just the conviction that she got from this book. These books are so powerful to change people's lives. Continue to do so. People can take a temple and convert it into a place for sense gratification. But the books, they cannot utilize for their sense gratification. Those who are sincere will appreciate. Prabhupada said that. So Prabhupada, he himself wrote so many books. And he was very much promoting, distribute these books. This is our Acharya Parampara. So, if we want to please Prabhupada and bring Krishna to others, let us try to cooperate to distribute his books. All these books are based on the writings of the previous Acharyas. Prabhupada said, by reading my books you get in contact with the previous Acharyas. Because Prabhupada himself is the representative of all the previous Acharyas. Sometimes we think, oh, how wonderful it would be to have the association of Narottam Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, these great devotees. But we are getting it in the person of Srila Prabhupada. Now sometimes the Prakriti Sahajiyas, they think that, what is all this book distribution and building temples? The six Goswamis, they simply lived in Vrindavan with kupin and kantans described in here, loincloth and some tattered quilt. So some of the Prakriti Sahajiyas, they want to imitate the six Goswamis. Yeah. But as I was saying, they had a particular service to perform.
No.
They had to establish the sampradaya by giving the philosophical basis. Otherwise, immediately, even in the, or just after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or even in his presence, there were people who were misinterpreting his teachings for their own sense gratification. Just like we read here in this song, how the six Goswamis were calling out for Radha and Krishna. But the certain Prakriti Sahajiyas, they think, why should we call out for Radha and Krishna? I'll be Krishna and you'll be Radha. We shall enjoy like this. Generally they like to emphasize only on the intimate leelas of Radha and Krishna. That is highly elevated. Will be misunderstood by persons who do not understand how great is Krishna. Therefore we study Bhagavatam from Janmadhyasya Yataha. Please don't lean on the worshipable Madanga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipped by Sankirtan. So this is like puja paraphernalia. So, what was I saying? Prakriti Sahajiyas, yeah, they imitate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They like to promote only this. But Janmadhyasya, yeah, we have to understand how great is Krishna. Then we can have beginning to understand what is the meaning of Rajalila, which is beyond opulence or beyond the mood of opulent worship. But without understanding the greatness of Krishna and without fully surrendering to him, if we attempt to immediately go to Gopi Lila, then we will think of it as something like our own lusty desires. That's why Prabhupada was very cautious. He didn't want that very intimate pictures of Radha and Krishna should be painted or exhibited. And not only Gopi Leela pictures, but plenty of pictures of Mahavishnu, the different avatars and like this. The six Goswamis wrote, apart from their foundational books like Hari Bhakti Vilas and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they also wrote many books describing the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally relished the writings of Jayadev, Bhavabhuti, Chandidas, the great poets of previous times. And he also relished Ramananda Rai's Jagannath Vallabh Natak. It's a drama. Natak. Vallabh Natak. Especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished hearing from Gita Govinda. But when Siddhanta Saraswati asked, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted Siddhanta Saraswati to publish many books of Gauriya Vaishnavism. At that time they were not in print. And Siddhanta Saraswati asked, then I shall print Gita Govinda. So he said, yes, you print one copy. That is for you only. That is not for the common people. They will misunderstand. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, not at this time, on another occasion, he said that it is better that all the Rasa Shastras are removed from the world, because they've been so much misused. The misuse has caused so much damage in the world. People think that Gauriya Vaishnavism is some sex culture, or in the name of Gauriya Vaishnavism they perform so many abominable acts. So we may ask them, well, if all the books are removed, then if someone is eligible in future to understand that, how will they access it? Now, that will be revealed. All these truths are eternal. Jayadev Goswami wrote Gita Govinda, but it's eternal truth. Even one line, the most intimate line in the whole of Gita Govinda, Jayadev was reluctant to write it. He thought this is too much. In his mind, these pastimes were being revealed, and he was composing them in beautiful poetry. But when in his transcendental vision, he saw that Krishna, after misbehaving with Radharani, is rejected by her. She is angry with him. And she is... And then Krishna is begging, you please give me your lotus feet. But Jayadev could not write this. This is, how can the Supreme Lord, how can he beg for lotus feet of anyone? So he left and went to bathe in the Ganga. He was living close to the Ganga. In the meantime, someone looking like him, his wife thought he was him, came and filled in the line which he did not want to write. And Jayadev could understand, this is Krishna. He wants it to be known that, what is my position? By speaking Bhagavad Gita, I have established what is my position. Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti. Above me, there is nothing. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate. Everything emanates from me. But he also wanted to reveal to persons who are eligible to understand that this is only a primary understanding. What he revealed in Bhagavatam, Aham Bhakta Paradhino, Nahi Svatantra Eva Dija, I'm subordinate to my devotees. I'm not independent. So the full extent of that he revealed in Gita Govinda. It is an eternal truth, but it is not meant for ordinary people. They cannot understand. What to speak of ordinary people, even great acharyas, they cannot understand. Madhvacharya did not teach this. He rejects this. Hari Sarvottama, the principle of his teaching, that the Hari is Krishna, he is above all. Sarva means all, he is above all. But to find how that Supreme Lord, who is above all, subordinates himself, that is extraordinary. So all these points have been established in the scripture. Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's in Bengali. How can it be scripture? It's not in Sanskrit. Scripture should be in Sanskrit. Sanskritam means perfectly composed. Bengali is not as perfect a language as Sanskrit in its grammatical composition. But that is the language of the Supreme Lord as he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all the truths which are difficult to find in the Vedas, which are revealed by the six Goswamis, are encapsulated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this stock of Gaudiya literature, that is the real, is the great treasure that the acharyas have left us. But how are we to approach that? It's not easy to understand. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Haladini Shakti Rasma. It's not easy to understand the loving transformations of the love of Radha and Krishna, which is effected by the Haladini Shakti, the pleasure potency or pleasure energy of the Supreme Lord. It's a very elevated topic. We have so many misconceptions in our minds. We cannot even begin to understand this philosophy as long as we are engaged or our minds are considering sense gratification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this process of chanting the holy names. Chito Darpana Marjanam, that cleanses the heart. There are various stages in chanting. First of all, first effect, cleansing the heart of impure desires. Then Vidyavadhu Jivanam, the later stage is that this chanting, which is the very life of transcendental knowledge, this chanting reveals transcendental knowledge within the heart. But there is some condition also. Vishoya Charya Sheiroshe Majya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. One has to give up sense gratification. You can make a path. She can come through. Vishaya Charya Sheiroshe Mojiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. So, we have so many ideas for sense gratification. Everything in the world is trying to convince us that we are not servants of Krishna. We should enjoy sense gratification. Very good philosophies. When you die, everything is finished. Science has proved it. There's no life after death. If there's life after death, then why didn't ever anyone come back and tell us? There's no scientific proof of life after death. Or someone say, there is life after death. You have to believe in Jesus. You eat meat and drink wine and be a good Christian. Because it says in the Bible that man was given dominion over the animals by God. So that means it's God's order that you should kill the animals and eat them. And someone else will say, but it says in the scripture that you should not eat the blood of any animal. So we shall kill them in a special way by slitting their throat and hanging them so that all the blood drains out, then we can eat the meat. That's religious. Or you can become a Buddhist. Ahimsa paramo dharma. We're Buddhists, we will never kill any animal. Very strict. But there are Muslims in this country also, and they kill animals. We don't kill animals, but we go to the butcher's shop and we purchase meat. But we are very strict. We will never kill any animal because we are Buddhists. There are so many philosophies, and people believe in it. This is the word of God. You must eat animals. One time I came out of our London temple to find a Christian passing out leaflets warning all the people not to go to our temple. Temple and restroom side by side. So he had a picture of Satan, a big horn, a big bang. You know, that's right. It's funny, I told it somebody else, but it's so funny. And holding a plate with apples and cabbages. Don't be a vegetarian. It's against the Bible. It's Satan. He must have believed it. Otherwise, why would he stand outside on a cold day? The absurdity of it never struck him. So, Radha Tattva is very hard. People need to be disabused of all the strange ideas that they have. Convinced that it's wrong. Yeah, freed from the misconception by preaching to them. Often they're very attached to their wrong ideas. Often they're very, they have very complex philosophy. And it seems to them to be plausible. So, Radha Tattva, that is a very high topic, but for preaching to the public, we have to establish who are we, who is God, what is our relationship. I've been writing this book on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So the Gauriya Mata at that time had several magazines. Yeah. Of which the principal was called the Gauriya, or just Gauriya. This is no the in Bengali. And it was mostly philosophical, heavy philosophy. And so those philosophical articles, they were very important actually. After some years of publication, three devotees were engaged to make an index so that you could access the different topics. Yeah, I believe it was three were engaged for making the index. So under the topic Radha Tattva, I think there were four entries, which were just like there was Radhashtakam, there were some prayers to Radha with translation in Bengali from Sanskrit. But under Dushtamata Khandan, or refutation of wrong theories or perverted theories, there are hundreds and hundreds of articles. So the Sahajiyas, they can't understand. They think, what's this printing books, building temples, what's this got to do with the six Goswamis? They don't see the connection. They are concerned with Anukaran, which means imitation, and not Anusaran, which means following in the footsteps. Anukaran is imitation and Anusaran is... So, we should understand what is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as revealed by the six Goswamis, as revealed by our acharyas. The mission is to reveal Krishna in his highest glory, which is Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Haladini Shakti Rasmat Ekatmana Vahibhavi Para Dehabhidam Gatoto Chaitanyakyam Pagatam Yad Adhana Tadvayam Chalkyamatam Radha Bhava Dhyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupa. I offer my obeisances to Radha and Krishna, who are combined in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their loving transformations, Radha Gripa, they are manifestations of Haladini Shakti, pleasure potency. They are one only, but they have combined in this form. Radha and Krishna are... Sorry, I left out one line. Radha and Krishna are one only, but they are eternally manifest as two for the sake of pastimes. But now, Swarup Damodar is writing. He was writing at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have again become combined in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, but who is imbued with the bodily luster and transcendental mentality of Srimati Radharani. So very high thing to teach. So high, even Madhva, Ramanuja, these acharyas who are so, our only duty is to bow down at their lotus feet, they also didn't propagate this. They also knew. They also had darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. He revealed all this. That they had a certain purpose to teach at a certain time. So, such high thing we have to aspire for. It's being preached by... That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, to preach this among the most fallen people. It's amazing. So we have to begin at the beginning. How many times did Prabhupada teach, you're not this body? What did he teach? You're not the body. What did he teach? You're not the body. Sense gratification is the trap. We have to rise above all this. We're not Indians, Americans, Russians, eternal servants of Krishna. Everything here is temporary. All our endeavors for material happiness are useless. How many times Prabhupada spoke this? Just to clear all the rubbish ideas away, so that we can eventually come to the point of understanding what is chanting Hare Krishna. Everything that we're doing, we're just doing it so that we can chant Hare Krishna. Now we're chanting Hare Krishna. When we actually chant, then the whole spiritual world will be revealed. Kabe hobe bolo shede nama amar aparad haguchi shuddha name ruchi kripa bale hobe hridaye shancha. When will that day be mine? That when my offenses are cleared away, we attain taste for chanting the holy name purely, then by the strength of Krishna's mercy, the whole spiritual existence will be revealed in my heart. This is the mission of our acharyas. By distributing books, by distributing prasadam, by giving lectures, by building temples, all these things. So we have to see the thread, see the connection, the thread that is running through from this book distribution, preaching, studying Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is completely linked, absolutely linked with the six Goswamis. Prabhupada is the modern representative of the six Goswamis. Six Goswamis, as Prabhupada said, the six Goswamis slept under a different tree every night, and I sleep in a different palace every night. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also elaborated on this point in so many ways. I won't say now because it's time for arati. Actually, the arati can go. This is also kirtan. Hari katha kirtan. That is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. That is his duty in this world. Hari katha. What is that? Hridaye bolila keva. Dayata dasya raseva. Gopi dhana katha kirtan. Someone said in my heart that the service of Dayata Das, himself, is to speak about kirtan, to perform kirtan of the katha of Gopidhan, Krishna, who is the wealth of the gopis. The Gopidhan katha kirtan. You can translate Krishna, who is the wealth of the gopis. Could also mean Ram. There are many things to be said. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.